The Commons Touch.
The Commons Touch.
On City Talk 105.9.
Hi, this is Larry Neal on City Talk 105.9 with the Commons Touch, and I'm travelling on a Merseyrail train. I left the car at home today. I think I'm going to be doing more of that because it seems we're all under attack. Petrol's expensive. Manchester's on the verge possibly of having a congestion charge. The M6 is 50 years old this week. Happy birthday, M6. And we travelled to Manchester in sardine tins, apparently. Well, I'm going to be talking to somebody who knows all about traffic problems, and it's our own very own Louise Ellman, the Labour MP for Liverpool Riverside. And Louise, down in the House of Commons, also sits on the... Well, she chairs the Transport Committee. I'm going to be asking Louise, is it time that I gave up my car and started walking or going by public transport? It'll be interesting to see what she says. So I'm heading to Moorfield Station to see Louise in her Liverpool office. It's a bit noisy now because I'm on the underground beneath Liverpool. Well, here I am at Moorfield Station on my way to Old Hall Street to see Louise Ellman in her office. I mean, I remember this when it used to be Liverpool Exchange Station and you could get steam trains to Southport. Those were the days. I wonder whether we'll ever have the glory days of rail again, or is it not so bad? I think we're going to find out soon. Well, I've walked along Old Hall Street. I'm now in the office of Louise Ellman, the Labour MP for Liverpool Riverside. Good afternoon, Louise.
Good afternoon, Larry.
Louise, do you think I should start divorce proceedings from my car and accept that the days of motoring are numbered? I'll start again. Louise, do you think I should start divorce proceedings from my car and accept that the days of happy motoring are numbered?
Well, I do think that you should be able to find ways to get around without having to use your car, but I don't think that I would abandon it just yet. But if we're serious about dealing with congestion and environmental pollution, we do have to get much better public transport. It has to be reliable, it has to be regular, and it has to take people to where they want to go, and it has to be much more integrated. But I think there will always be a need for cars, but we should leave that to a minimum.
Well, at the moment, they're having a referendum in Manchester. I think it closes in a few days' time on the 11th of December, and that will determine whether Manchester gets a congestion charge. Have you any views on that? Do you think we might get one in Liverpool if Manchester gives the go-ahead?
Well, the decision will be very much a local one, and it's really for Manchester people to decide. The government is offering around £3 billion worth of extra investment into the transport system in Greater Manchester, half of that paid for directly by government, to improve public transport before a congestion charge was brought in. But it is a matter for local people. It's only the local people in Manchester who know the detail of that, and they're the people who will be asked to make the decision.
I mean, Geoff Hoon, the Transport Secretary, has made it clear that there's no plan B, and that if Manchester says no to the transport programme, which includes a congestion charge, the money that's on the table at the moment will be taken away from them.
Well, that's right. I mean, this is part of a government project called the Transport Innovation Fund, where money is set aside specifically to encourage local authorities to invest in public transport, but to have road charging as part of that. And the extra money is conditional on the road charging element. Greater Manchester is the first area to be looking at this, and their decision will be a very important one. But it is a local decision. There's a great deal of improvement promised there before any charge was brought in, a big expansion of the tram system, reopening of railways, big improvement in buses, including school buses. It's really a massive improvement, but that charging element is part of it, so people in Manchester are going to have to make that decision.
I mean, some people would say, of course, that why should motorists bear the brunt of a lot of that cost with a congestion charge? You know, why not spread it across the entire population of Greater Manchester so that everybody pays a bit?
Well, the idea is to try to manage the traffic better and to discourage people from using congested roads, congested motorways at peak times. And the charges are only about peak times. But it is all conditional on a vast improvement in public transport. And that improvement has to be largely in place before any charges are brought in. So it's essentially about dealing with congestion, but improving public transport for everybody. But the details of that will have to be assessed locally in Manchester, and Manchester people will take the decision.
I mean, we're looking at a report saying that it's unconfirmed, of course, yet, but if the Kirby to Liverpool tram link goes ahead, the cost has spiralled by £100 million to something like £430 million. It's a lot of money, isn't it? And I have a sneaky suspicion that if we start asking for that kind of money from the government, they might well say to us, well, you can have it, but you know, you'll have to consider a congestion charge in Merseyside.
Well, the last time the Mersey tram proposal was put forward, it failed, and that was partly because the local authorities here couldn't all agree on what they wanted to happen, and the costs were going up then. So this time, I think there does have to be strong support across Merseyside for the scheme, and we also have to show that it is good value for money, and that is going to be an essential part of it. I don't think the government have said it has to be linked with a charging scheme. It can stand in its own right, but it does have to be shown to be good value for money, and that's going to be the key part, perhaps a difficult one, but that's what we have to argue if we're going to be successful.
Do you think a tram link in Liverpool to Kirby would be good for the local economy?
I support a tram link. I think it would be good for the city and good for the local economy. I think it would help people to move around, and it would help people to get to work and to get to local amenities, and that's very important.
Well, this week as well, we've been saying happy birthday to the M6. It's 50 years old. I mean, the first stretch was opened in your former political stomping ground, Lancashire, the Preston Bypass. So it's a long time ago. I just about remember it. Wasn't it Reginald Maudling who opened it, the Transport Minister?
Yes, I think it was, and it was a real landmark. And I think now it's very difficult to imagine and remember what it was like before motorways, when journeys took hours and hours of tortuous routes on narrow roads, people in the jams waiting in long lines, and really the motorways opened up travel and mobility for many, many people who just couldn't get around before, and I think it's been a very good thing for everyone.
I mean, when you look at the old black and white television shots of the opening of the M6 in its first few days, it was like a wide country lane, hardly any cars at all, because in those days, I guess, not many families had vehicles, and now I don't think we could live, the country would come to a halt if it wasn't for the motorway system.
Well, motorways are essential now. They're part of the essential network to let people and goods move around the country, and it's just hard to imagine a time before the motorways. And in the early days of the motorways, people used them to get around quickly, but also when the service stations started to open on the motorways, people actually went on visits down the motorways to visit a service station, and I think that Knutsford was perhaps the first one. And I even remember some time ago we used to go along the motorway to have an outing at Knutsford.
I can't imagine spending my holidays at Charnock Richard somehow, but there we are. Do you think we'll ever see major road building again in this country?
I think there'll always be a need for roads, but I don't think we'll ever have the major road building that we had in the past. I think now it's looking at bottlenecks, it's thinking about how to link up the road network to other systems. I think the days of major road building are probably gone, but it will be looking at how to make travelling around easier.
So what would you predict in 50 years' time? And 12-lane M6 or something like that, because the motorways today are pretty congested at times, aren't you know?
Yes, the motorways are congested, and I think we'll be looking at perhaps some extensions and widenings, better management, but also extending rail and linking road to rail, better integrated public transport, and I think that's where we're going to see the expansion.
You're listening to the Commons Touch on City Talk 105.9 with me, Larry Neild, and I'm talking to Louise Ellman, Labour MP for Liverpool Riverside and Chairman of the House of Commons Transport Committee. Well, you will have heard last week about the protest on trains between Liverpool, Manchester and beyond. I mean, did you get a tin of sardines?
I didn't get one, but I heard all about it. But this question of overcrowding is a very real one, and it's ironic, really. It's come about because railways have become more popular, and we need to deal with that, not by treating people like cans of sardines, but by extending them and by having more carriages on those trains. And the government said last week as part of the pre-budget report that they were going to order more carriages so we'd have less overcrowding, but I'm still not so sure how that's going to work out here and whether those carriages are going to go overwhelmingly to the south of England.
Well, you're chairman of the Transport Committee. Can't you insist that the new carriages should come to Liverpool first? Because I think we seem to get everybody else cast off here, or am I wrong?
No, that's a very good point, and indeed we are pushing for that. We want more carriages up here to alleviate overcrowding and to encourage people to use trains. After all, people actually like going on trains, and that journey should be made easier, not more difficult.
I was in the Manchester area recently talking to people on one of the local railway stations, and I was talking to somebody who said they've been commuting into Manchester every day for 4 years and never ever had a seat on a train.
I'm very sad to hear that, but I know that it's true, and that's why the push for more frequent trains, bigger trains, more carriages has been one of the major things that we've all been proposing, and we want to see action on that. And we also want to see electrification on local lines to make journeys faster, and these are the journeys that we want to look at first, and I'll certainly keep pursuing that.
Are you amazed that the line between Liverpool and Manchester isn't electrified?
I am. I think it's amazing that that hasn't happened, but that's one that I'm putting right at the top of the list, and I'm going to be pushing for that to happen.
And who will you have to push to get that on the starting block?
Well, I'll be pressing Network Rail to deal with that and government to fund it. Government have said that they're going to make more money available, but we have to go to Network Rail to see that it happens and happens quickly.
Well, if I decide to take a break this year, with my holidays from Charnock Richard and fly somewhere, it's going to cost me a lot of money, isn't it, because of the fuel surcharge? And you've had a bit to say about that in the past few days.
Well, yes, I have. I mean, I have noticed, as perhaps with the petrol prices, that companies are ready to put the prices up when the cost of fuel goes up, but they're a lot slower to bring them down. And it has been shown on airlines as a great inconsistency in what's been done. And it does rather look as if the so-called fuel surcharge was just a way of increasing the price of fares, because those fares have not come down when the fuel charges have come down very abruptly indeed.
In fact, the prices of the fuel surcharge started at £5 and it's gone up by 5,000%. It's an incredible jump, isn't it?
Oh, it's an incredible jump, and I think that is why so many people think it's just an increase in price disguised as a fuel surcharge, and the fuel costs have come down now quite dramatically, and those charges should come down as well.
Is there anything you can do about that, you know, in your position as chairman of the Transport Committee?
Well, the decisions are taken by the airlines themselves, though I think that the Civil Aviation Authority should perhaps take more interest in this than they do. And our Transport Committee did look at the whole issue of air charges some time ago, and we did see how charges of various sorts to do with air travel were really added to the cost of fares after people had decided to buy tickets. And it's really a very unfair way. People should know what they're paying for, and it should be much clearer at the time of purchase what it's actually going to cost someone to fly.
I was listening to somebody from the transport industry yesterday, and they were saying that they should give one price and absorb the surcharge into the ticket price. But I think it's better to know how much they're charging in surcharge, so that you can tell it just at a glance how much you're being ripped off by.
Well, that's a novel way of looking at it. And I think perhaps we'd accept there could be exceptional circumstances where a price has to go up. But if it goes up, it should come down when those exceptional circumstances go.
This is Larry Neild with the Commons Touch on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. I'm talking to Louise Elman, the Labour MP for Liverpool Riverside, and we'll be back with more after this break.
The Commons Touch on City Talk 105.9.
City Talk.
News from a different angle.
If you look right and left, there are houses, a train station, cars driving up and down. It's like any other street. But look straight ahead and you're faced with a massive stone wall that keeps in over 1,000 of Merseyside's worst robbers, rapists and murderers. If you stretch your neck, you can just about see the bars on the windows. Makes you wonder if there's anyone looking back at you. You might have even driven past the jail hundreds of times. But every time you do, you wonder what goes on inside.
It can be quiet for a couple of weeks. could be quiet for a month, but sometimes it'll flare up. You know, I think the last skirmish was last week. Some wings are worse than others, though. I-wing and G-wing are the worst. There's beatings on there every day.
That's what I've had meals downstairs in reception. Some lad only asked for a bit more curry and got threw right up the oar by his screw.
News from a different angle. City Talk.
Since 1992, North Mersey Business Centre has assisted the development of over 1,000 businesses with a high-quality, flexible approach to leasing. And now your organisation could benefit with business units available for rent at Knowsley Industrial Park. Our properties are available on monthly leases with no service charge added to our competitive rental costs. Lease with us and you'll even receive free parking and on-site security 24 hours a day. Join the long list of successful businesses at North Mersey Business Centre. Call today on 0151 549 1388.
City at the cinema. Action.
Samuel L. Jackson lays down the law in Lakeview Terrace.
I'm trying to raise these kids by myself. Teach them to respect themselves and the people they come from. So I don't need you or your lady putting your bedroom scenes out here for them to see.
Having moved into their new home in an upmarket area of Los Angeles, newlyweds Chris and Lisa discover their new neighbor is a bit particular about rules and regulations.
I did not give you, my daughter, permission to come over here because it matters to me what you're learning and who you're learning it from.
Samuel explains how the cast relieved tension on the set.
We all have this kind of great facility for not walking around in character all the time. So it's kind of like when they say cut, all three of us could kind of find something else to do or just talk about anything or kind of laugh and do something else, which relieves some of the tension because it's a pretty tense script.
So you keep saying stuff like that, like we're not welcome here, we should move, but we're fitting in just fine.
Says who?
City at the cinema.
Just because you're getting on a bit doesn't mean you want to lose your independence. At One Stop Mobility, they specialise in new and reconditioned stairlifts. They can install yours within just a few hours. They offer competitive prices, superb after-sales service, and if you order a new stairlift before Christmas, they'll even give you a free bath lift worth £650. For your free home assessment, call One Stop Mobility now on 0151 638 6978. That's 638 6978.
The City Surgery, weekdays at 12 p.m. on City Talk 105.9.
Hi, Julie.
Hiya. It's a bitch and she's been biting the paw. She's nearly 2 years old. I've been to the vet and they gave her an injection, some tablets, and it calmed her down. She finished the course and then it came back again. They gave her a second lot of their medicine, but different ones. Now they're giving me a spray. But they haven't actually told me what it is, what's wrong with her. If the spray doesn't work, they're saying that she might have to have anti-rejection drugs.
Probably is most likely to be one of two things. One thing is mites that can cause them to chew their feet and rub their faces. But with your dog, you mentioned that some tablets calmed it down, so I'm suspecting that probably your dog has been... I'm suspecting that your dog, which I can hear in the background, has probably got an allergy. Basically, they can be allergic to all sorts of things in the environment, such as grass and even fleas.
The City Surgery. Your problems solved. City Talk 105.9.
The Commons Touch on City Talk 105.9.
Welcome back to the Commons Touch with me, Larry Neal, on City Talk 105.9. I'm talking to Louise Ellman, the Labour MP for Liverpool Riverside and Chairman of the House of Commons Transport Committee. And we've been talking transport issues today. We've been talking about buses, trains, aeroplanes and maybe trams. So we'll carry on talking to Louise. Looking at this week, we've had the state opening of Parliament this week. Are you impressed with anything the government's planning to do in the next year?
I think there are some good things there. I'm particularly interested to see steps on dealing with child poverty and to put that much higher up the agenda. We have been making improvements on the position of families, children in poverty, but nowhere near enough. And I'm glad to see a bill that's going to look at that directly. I'm also pleased to look at a bill to do with establishing our rights under the health service. Again, we've made great improvements, but we do need to consolidate those.
I think we should go back to the days of the good old matrons and get rid of a lot of the hospital managers. You never got the problems that we have today when we had matrons, people like Hattie Jakes, going on the corridors of the hospitals?
Well, maybe we're going to have carry-on nursing back again. I think when I watch some of those old films now on TV, when sometimes they show them, and I do laugh. I know a lot of those jokes are now seen as unfashionable, not quite right, but it is really very funny. But underlying that, I think that you are right, and we are starting to see the return of the matrons, somebody in charge on the wards with authority. And while managers are very important, they don't always replace somebody there directly on the ward responsible for whatever happens there.
I was interested in the welfare bill because it's a subject I've looked at a lot, and this is the idea of getting people into work who have been, if you like, economically inactive for a long time, and this includes people who are possibly on disability benefits. I think that could go drastically wrong if it's not handled carefully.
It does have to be handled very sensitively. There are many people who've been out of work for a long time who would work again if they were supported and helped, and if that work was flexible, and if it was found that they couldn't continue the work, if they were helped to get back on benefit if they really needed to. So I think there's a lot of sensitivity needed here. I think it's right to address this problem. I don't think it's right to have more and more people who are classified as unable to work when actually they could work, but they do need to be helped and they need to be supported.
What concerns me about that, Louise, is the fact that there might be some people who are dragged kicking and screaming into work when quite clearly they're not really up to it because they've been out of the job market for a long, long time. And I fear that although the sentiment of the bill might be okay, when it comes down to ground level in the job centres, people there might take a different attitude.
Well, that's why this has to be handled very sensitively, and I think there are enough people out there who would go back and do some work, even if it's different work, if they were helped, and we should concentrate on those people.
Do you have any views on the men from the Met barging into the House of Commons the other day?
Well, I think we've got to await the outcome of the inquiries now. I think we are in a very difficult situation. MPs can't be above the law, and if the police want to take action, they should be able to pursue it. But then there are big questions about how this happened, whether the right information was given, whether the police acted within or outside their powers, and that's going to be investigated. And I think we have to await the outcome of that investigation now.
So generally, if the man from the Met wants to come into the House of Commons and they've got legal and the authority to do so, it shouldn't be a problem.
I think that the police have to have the right authorities. MPs have to be able to go about their work without interference. But if people are breaking the law, that has to be addressed. Exactly how that applies in this situation has to be looked at further, and that's why we have to await the result of the inquiries now set up.
Because in many ways, an MP, people like yourself, you're a bit like parish priest, because people come here and they confess all manner of things. So you really do take a lot on board, and you probably get a lot of private information that, if you like, is secret to you. And you wouldn't want to spread that out to anybody else, would you?
No, it's very important indeed that private information given to us about people's circumstances remains just that, and that's why the Freedom of Information Acts, in fact, do not extend to work we do with constituents. So any information given to me by a constituent remains private and could not be accessed under any Act of Parliament.
What time is it, Louise? Carry on for a bit, yeah. Well, turning to America, I mean, just after Christmas, we're going to get Barack Obama as the new president of the United States. Is he going to be a friend of the United Kingdom?
I think that he will be. I think that he's got major problems to deal with, and I don't think we should imagine that because there's a new president, who I'm delighted to see, and somebody with so much support, and who is such a strong and attractive person, that those problems are going to go away. He's going to have to deal with big issues in just the same way as his predecessor did, but I think there's a great deal of goodwill towards him, and that should remain.
You're listening to the Commons Touch on City Talk 105.9 with me, Larry Neild, and I'm talking to Louise Elman, the Labour MP for Liverpool Riverside. Louise, let me ask you, do you think Barack Obama's arrival on the scene will help peace in the Middle East?
I think he will make renewed efforts to secure peace in the Middle East, but the major problems will remain there, and it still has to be about getting the parties directly involved together and then reaching an agreement. But I hope that he'll make stronger efforts to do that than his predecessor did.
I noticed this week as well in America the presidents of the big motor industries, Ford, Chrysler, General Motors, went crawling on their knees with three begging bowls, wanting billions of dollars to keep the motor industry alive in America. I mean, that could have a knock-on effect here, but it's not going to be an easy ride for them. I think some of the senators are saying, we're not going to help you, but there's a lot at stake, millions of jobs.
Well, there are millions of jobs involved in the motor industry. It isn't just the direct jobs, it's the suppliers and it's the companies who do work for the manufacturers and all the associated people who are connected with the motor industry. That's why in the States this is being looked at so carefully. But I think that there, as indeed here, government will not put money anywhere unless it is sure it will have the right result. And that's what must be being examined at the moment in the States.
The presidents of those big companies have said that if they get the money from the American government, they'll work during 2009 for just $1. Do you think that should be a trend that should spread to this side of the Atlantic?
Well, I suspect there won't be too many takers for that. And what matters the most is that work continues, that manufacturing continues, so that there is employment for the large numbers of people who are associated with it now. It's very much part of the economy, and what happens in the States has an impact here in the United Kingdom.
Well, as I said, I travelled there today on Merseyrail, and it's a very good service. It looked very busy. There were hundreds of people heading into the city centre to do some Christmas shopping, and that must be a good sign.
Well, it's a great sign if more and more people continue to come here shopping. We've now got Liverpool One. People are being attracted to come into Liverpool. That's what that development was all about. That's what Liverpool's regeneration is all about. So I say keep the people coming, even if the trains are crowded for the moment.
And we're coming to an end of Capital of Culture. What's been your highlight of this year, Louise, as we celebrated being the European Capital of Culture?
Well, I've enjoyed going to a lot of events, to the theatres, to exhibitions, to concerts. My highlight was the Paul McCartney concert. I thought that was terrific, but I saw a lot of other things as well, and I like going to the theatre. I like the production of King Lear. I enjoyed going to the Clint exhibition. I enjoyed lots of the things that happened during the year. I think it's given Liverpool a terrific profile. We're now seen in a much more positive light than before. But the challenge for next year and beyond has to be to maintain that, to keep the city's profile high, to continue to bring visitors and investment to Liverpool so that everybody here benefits.
Well, when you're out and about in London, do you get the sense that people are aware that Liverpool's image has taken a quantum leap forward?
I do. People see Liverpool in a different light. The Capital of Culture year has meant that Liverpool is now seen in a new way. We're seen as a successful city with a great future, and that's what we've got to build on.
Finally, Louise, we're going into a new year. Do you think that we're likely to see a snap election in 2009?
Well, nobody knows the answer to that. Normally, under what's become conventional four-year cycle, you would expect it. It's been thought it would be delayed for another year, and of course there doesn't have to be an election until 2010. I don't know the answer. I don't know when the election will be. But what I do know is we've got to continue trying to deal with the horrendous international situation we face and deal with domestic issues in the very best way we can.
It looks as though Gordon Brown's doing a good job in handling the economy, but he still needs to, use that phrase again, get the bankers kicking and screaming into starting to release some of the money that they want to keep in their little bank vaults.
Well, the Prime Minister and the Chancellor of the Exchequer are trying very hard on that. I think they keep telling the bankers what they want to see happen. We have seen some changes, but not enough.
I mean, I was listening to somebody talking about this today, and they were saying, well, the government should keep out of banking matters. You know, it's a matter for the bankers to decide whether they want to lower mortgages or release money. But I think they've got a big part to play in helping us to get out of this crisis. And some people might think, well, they caused it in the first place.
Well, that is very true. I mean, there's now a great deal of public money in the banking system, and that's been put there because the banking system is so important to the whole of our economy, and it did in fact fail when it was left alone. So government can get involved. Government cannot run day-to-day things. That wouldn't work. But the banks cannot think that with large amounts of public funds put there because they failed when they were left to their own devices, they can just do exactly as they want. That's not tenable.
Oh, Louise Ellman, thank you very much for joining me today.
You're welcome.
Well, let's hope that Louise Ellman wins her campaign to see the electrification of the Liverpool to Manchester railway line. It was, after all, the world's first passenger railway line, and we're still chugging along there in those old diesel trains. And we'll be keeping a watch on the tram situation. Will we ever have a tram system in Liverpool to rival the one that they've got in Manchester, Metrolink? Time will tell. It's going to be a costly business, and there'll be a lot of talking about that in 2009. And also in 2009, we'll be going to the polls, this time to vote for the European Parliament. At the moment, there are 785 members of the European Parliament and 78 in the United Kingdom. And we in the North West have got 9, and it's going down to 8. So next June, we'll be voting for 8 MEPs who'll be representing us in Brussels and Strasbourg, depending on where they meet, because the Parliament does flit between the two places. And if people think that it's not important, I look at it this way. The European Union is the world's second biggest democracy. It's even bigger than America. Only India surpasses the size of the EU. And the budget, they're talking about a budget for 2009. This is spanning the whole of Europe. We're talking about 135 billion euros, and translated into proper money, that means pounds, it's 117 billion pounds. That's what Europe will be spending next year if the commissioners and the MEPs give the go-ahead. In 1979, when we went to the polls to decide who should represent us in Brussels, two-thirds of the European population turned out. If you think about the American election, it was a very high turnout, 60, 70, 80% in some states. But in the last European elections, it was less than half, 40-odd percent across Europe, and it was much lower in many areas, particularly some parts of Merseyside, for example. These people do a highly important job for us in Brussels, and 80% of our laws are decided by Brussels. 80% of how we live is decided by, if you like, mainland Europe. We have to be in there with them, fighting our corner, as it were. So we'll be talking next week about Europe and its importance to us. I'll be talking to Sir Robert Atkins, who's one of the Conservative MEPs of the North West, and I'll also be talking to Paul Nuttall. Now, Paul's is 32, he's born in Bootle, and he's recently been chosen as the chairman of UKIP, the United Kingdom Independence Party. And one of the interesting things of UKIP, of course, is that they don't want us to be in Europe, although they will fight to be represented in Brussels. Their stated aim is to bring us out of Europe and go back to the good old days when we were trading with every corner of the world. Well, this is Larry Neild on City Talk 105.9 with the Commons Touch. I'll be back with more after this.
The Commons Touch on City Talk 105.9.
City Talk. News from a different angle.
Just got out of our yellow taxi cab and we've arrived at the World Trade Center site, the site where once the two towers stood, and it's quite a tearful experience. I didn't actually expect it to be so emotional. The site is just huge, and you can't actually get your head around that once there were two skyscrapers stood here filled with people just going to work on that fateful day on September 11th.
Looking at obviously a very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center, and we have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers.
News from a different angle.
City Talk.
Talk to Tricia on City Talk 105.9.
Hi, I'm Tricia Goddard. On this week's Talk to Tricia, living in the shadow of a famous father. Gary Morecambe will be joining me to talk about life with and without his dad, Eric, who also happened to be a national treasure, of course. And talking of national treasures, in the week he opens in Panto with Scylla, our very own Pete Price will be opening up about his remarkable life. Oh, yes, he will. I'll also be meeting one of the country's top keyhole surgeons. He's based in Liverpool, and he'll be sharing the secrets of weight loss surgery. All that and more on this week's Talk to Tricia.
Talk to Tricia, Sunday evening at 8 on City Talk 105.9.
City at the cinema.
Action. Animated fun this week with Madagascar. Escape to Africa.
You got Madagascar on the brain.
Yeah, I think it'll seem much more fun the further away we get from it.
Like when you bit me on the butt.
The lovable New York Zoo friends return with a plan to escape their island home and make for the rolling plains of nearby Africa.
Sir, we may be out of fuel.
What makes you think that?
We've lost engine one. And engine two is no longer on fire.
Ben Stiller provides the voice of Alex in the film and told us a bit more about his character.
To me, like, Alex, I did get to know more as a character the second time around because it was such an exploration the first time, because you do it over a number of years and trying to figure it out. And so the second time, having seen the finished movie, seeing what the animation looked like with the voice, then you have something in your mind that you can go off of and you get to, you know, just knew it better. So it's more fun, the second one.
Hey, guys, as long as we're together, we'll be okay. Yeah, yeah, but love ain't gonna get us home.
City at the cinema. This is The Commons Touch.
The Commons Touch.
On City Talk 105.9.
Welcome back to The Commons Touch with me, Larry Neild. Well, earlier in the programme here on City Talk 105.9, I was talking to Louise Ellman, the Labour MP for Liverpool Riverside, and of course she's thrown her weight behind the revival of the Mersey-Tram scheme. I'm now joined by Councillor Mark Dowd, Chairman of Mersey Travel. Mark, it's good news if we can get this scheme back on the rail, as it were.
Well, it certainly is, Larry, because obviously we're under depression now, and if we could get to the position on Merseyside where we get the tram back on the rails, as it were, we'd be in a position to give people work for 2 years, and hopefully when the tram's completed, we'll be out of recession and we'll have a brand new tram line, obviously from Liverpool up to Kirby.
Do you think it'll make much difference to our local economy?
What I've done as regards, and I'm talking about over a period of years now, I've been to France, Germany, Belgium, and what I've noticed, whenever there is a tram, it seems to boost the economy, and I've got no reason to think that it won't happen the same within, obviously, Liverpool and Kirby.
Well, we were struggling last time, Mark, to get money from the government for the tram, and that's why it went belly up, because there was a shortfall. The cost has now risen, apparently, to around about £430 million. Do we stand a cat-in-hell chance of getting that kind of money?
Well, again, the government have said that they wish to build a way out of recession, and this is a perfect opportunity to do so. I mean, I was bitterly disappointed when we didn't get the tram the last time, but obviously we've got to keep going, and that's what this is all about as regards the finance. We need to talk to government, but this time really we need the district councils behind us, because what we don't need to do is, as we did last time, is give the government the opportunity to basically kick us into touch, and that's exactly what they did. So we've got to be a little bit cuter this time when we go to see them. We've got to have everybody in support and be in a position where we all wish the tram, and I think we do, by the way. I sense there's a different atmosphere this time.
When we say everybody, you're talking about the five district councils, Liverpool, Sefton, Wirral, Knowsley and St Helens?
Oh, I think we basically want the six district councils behind us, because I should imagine when the city region comes into being, Halton will be in the city region.
Halton, of course, is Widnes and Runcorn.
So, that's right. So, we need everybody together, and we need to go down as one.
I'm watching very carefully the situation in Manchester, where there's the Transport Innovation Fund, and they're going to get a tram extension, but that's going to be partly paid for with a congestion charge on drivers. Do you think that could happen here?
Well, I think we're light years away from congestion charging here, Larry, because we're in a position as regards the Transport Innovation Fund, the TIF fund. If you look at, say, for instance, Manchester, I think they ballot on it's the 11th of December.
Yes.
So, you know, the ball's up in the air with that one, as it were, and we really need to understand what's going to go on in Manchester, because the bid was put in, obviously, because of the congestion charging. Now, I don't think anybody knows the way it's going to fall, to be honest.
Well, that's a massive programme, isn't it? £3 billion would be spent on public transport in Manchester if people vote yes in favour.
Yeah, but as I understand it, there's 10 district councils in Manchester, and it seems that 7 of them must vote yes. It doesn't make up as regards the amalgamation of votes. It's done on...
Yes, it is. That's right.
In individual councils. So the thing about it is, we know for a fact that there's certain councils who just don't want it. So I don't know how it's going to go. I've spoke to people in Manchester, and to be quite honest, I think they don't know either. It could go either way.
Well, I mean, things seem to be running very smoothly on Mersey Travel. In fact, I travelled in today on Mersey Travel. I was saying to Louise Ellman, I'm using trains more and more these days because I'm really, I suppose, giving up on the on the car. It's becoming too expensive.
Well, I think one of the things that we did when we actually took over the running of the railway ourselves, we said to the incumbent train operators, we said to them, look, the thing about it is, it's a complete and utter waste of time with the rolling stock the way it was, and that's the reason that it was refurbished, to a tune of £34 million. And I think what's happening now, they're doing very well. The trains are clean, 95-96% running. So we're in a position now where people will use the trains because they know for a fact that anybody who comes into Liverpool, say for instance where I live in the Old Rome, I wouldn't come in a car, but the first thing is I don't drive anyway. But anybody coming in a car, yeah, I mean, they've got to find out where they can park, how much it costs, all this type of thing. And especially if you can come straight into the city centre by train in about 15 minutes. I think you're very wise, Larry.
Well, what about those sardine specials between Liverpool and Manchester?
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Sponsored by John West, I think.
Well, you know, the thing we did as regards them, we actually put a load of money into Northern to basically double the trains because we could see two coach trains there. It was absolute nonsense. But Mersey Travel paid Northern to basically enhance the train lengths. And this is what it's all about now, because the trains are that popular, obviously because of what's happening as regards oil and, you know, the other commodities. We're in this position now where public transport is the way forward.
I mean, Louise Ellman was telling me earlier, Mark, that her number one priority is to get a far better service between Liverpool and Manchester, and she also wants to press for the electrification of the line between the two cities.
Obviously, as regards to us, if we're coming through the Chat Moss line, there's no reason why we shouldn't be going with fast trains from Liverpool to Manchester in about 25, 28 minutes. No reason whatsoever. I mean, the thing about it is there's no delays, and really we should be having a 15-minute service up to Manchester. There's enough people, and if you're giving people the service they wish, and it's going to be exactly the same as here, where you've made the comment, I won't drive in. If you can get to Manchester in half hour, will you use your car?
No, I wouldn't use it anyway, actually, yeah. Mark. I've been doing some work over there these days, and it's hell on earth. You get just past Warrington, and you're crawling, really. I just don't see the point. I wouldn't dream of commuting by car every day to Manchester.
No,
it's too nerve-wracking.
That's right, yeah.
So would you welcome the electrification of that line?
Absolutely. Delighted if we could get electrification. The other thing, it's the carbon footprint as well, and that's what the government wants. I mean, the thing about it is now, the less diesels that we actually built, the better. And through major cities such as Liverpool and Manchester, I find it absolutely incredible that we haven't got an electric service. I do, honestly.
Has Capital of Culture put any extra strain on the rail and ferry services and bus services in Merseyside?
Well, if we look at the rail services, obviously there's an increase of about 8% each year. That's one of the reasons why we really wanted Liverpool Central to be refurbished, because over the last 5 years, we've had an increase of about 66% of people who travel into Liverpool Central. The station really isn't big enough. It was built 30-odd years ago for the commuters of the day. We've advanced, and we really need something doing about that, the same as Lime Street. I find it absolutely incredible that I can go to Manchester Piccadilly, and I did this last week, as a matter of fact, had a look around the station. They've spent tens and tens of millions on that station. Leeds is exactly the same. I had a look at Leeds. And then I come into Liverpool Central. The train runs in from, say, London on Platform 7. And we've got that old tarmac, and it's like going back to 1952. It's absolutely dire.
It's a time warp, isn't it?
It is a time warp. I mean,
perhaps you should bring out steam trains to go with it. Well, you'd like that, because you were a train driver at one time.
I actually passed out for driving engines in 1967, yeah, so I did actually 8 years on steam engines, so they're very, very close to my heart.
So, but not as close as trams, so let's hope the trams...
Oh, not as close as trams now, no, the thing about it is that they're the flavour of the day now. We need this tram, badly need this tram, really do.
What's the next move on that one, Mark?
Well, I think what we've got to do is put a business plan forward.
How long will that take?
Well, we need everybody behind us in this one, because we need to go forward as one with this, so we're working on that as we speak.
Well, Councillor Mark Dowd, Chairman of Mercy Travel, thanks very much for joining me here on the Commons Touch on City Talk 105.9.
My pleasure.
The Commons Touch on City Talk 105.9.
I'm now joined by Frank McKenna, Chairman of Downtown Liverpool in Business. Good afternoon, Frank.
Good afternoon, Larry.
Well, Frank, if you lived in Manchester, would you vote yes or no in the big congestion charge referendum?
I'd definitely be voting no, because I think it's an additional stealth tax, particularly on the business community, that at this moment in time in particular, we can well do without.
A lot of businesses, though, Frank, are throwing their weight behind it.
Well, I think that's for them to decide. Clearly, from a Liverpool perspective, we are nowhere near as congested or as busy, indeed, as Manchester. And so I suppose things are rather different here. But nevertheless, there's lots of business organisations in Manchester campaigning for a no vote. And certainly people I've spoken to over there have said to me that they think it will be a detriment to the business community, and we may well in Liverpool and the wider city region benefit from relocation of businesses. So if I was Liverpool City Council, I'd actually be ruling out any prospect of a congestion charge in Liverpool in the hope of perhaps attracting some businesses from the other end of the M62.
It's a bit of a carrot and stick situation, though, isn't it, Frank? Because on offer is something like £3 billion worth of transport improvements if, and it's a big if, they'll have a congestion charge to go with it. And that would mean people travelling towards Manchester at peak time having to pay, a few pounds? Is it £3? And £2 on the homeward journeys, £5 a day. So, but for that, they'd get a dream bus service, a dream train service, a dream tram service.
Yeah, I think the problem is, Larry, nobody quite believes that that's actually...
You're saying dream on, are you?
Well, the experience that we have of public organisations spending our cash efficiently and effectively isn't great, actually. And, you know, you have to ask yourself why, after 14 years of Objective One funding, we didn't actually have the wherewithal across Merseyside to implement a tram system without additional government help. And the fact of the matter is, it was because of the fallout between local authorities, particularly Knowsley and Liverpool, as I understand it, that the tram system fell apart, and you know, there were chief executives involved and all the rest of it. So I think that the money has been available. I think, unfortunately, the process was managed particularly poorly, and as a result of that, we've been left with no tram in our capital of culture year, which, of course, we were supposed to not only have the tram, but lots of other things that didn't materialise either. But looking to the future, I'm all in favour of infrastructure improvements. But I have to say, the business sector is already paying significant amounts of money. And the government have now, in its Queen's speech, announced that local authorities will be able to raise a supplementary business rate as well from 2010. How many times can you go to the business pot to bail public sector spending out?
This is the Queen's speech saying that there will be a new bill that will enable local authorities to get something. Is it 2 pence in the pound?
It's two pence in the pound, and as I say, it doesn't sound a lot of money, but if you're a small business, and you know many business people in Liverpool, Larry, and at the moment, you know, every penny counts, and the prospect of local authorities being able to raise extra revenues through such a measure is quite frightening. And as I say, if you add on top of that the sort of taxes that will come on the back of congestion charge, and we've already got business improvement districts in Liverpool that business pay additional monies for. The car parking fees, as you know, have increased significantly. And I think people at some stage are going to say, well, hang on a minute, you know, we've had an unprecedented increase in public spending for a decade now. Why do we need even more money to fix the things that are needed to be fixed in Liverpool and the surrounding areas? Surely it's time for local governments, as well as the rest of us, to take a long, hard look at themselves, tighten the belts and get in the real world.
The problem is that if local authorities are given the power to raise a levy from local businesses, you kind of feel that they're going to do it. If they've got the power to get money, hold their hands out and say, we want more, they're going to do it.
Oh, Larry, I have no doubt that that's the case, and that's why I've written to the business secretary, Peter Mandelson, asking him to intervene, because on the one hand, he and his department seem to be doing all they can to support businesses through a variety of measures, particularly through the regional development agencies, but then the other departments across government are taking measures that are going to be business unfriendly. And, you know, there doesn't seem to be much joined up thinking at government level at the moment as far as the business community is concerned. But coming back to congestion charging, I think even if you could make a bit of a case in Manchester, because it is a city that, you know, year by year gets busier and busier, and I've sat in traffic jams there for an hour trying to get into the place. We're nowhere near that stage in Liverpool. I don't think we're going to get there anytime soon either, and it would be an absolute disaster if Liverpool tried to introduce such a charge. If we're going to fund a tram, and if that's the priority that the Transport Authority and indeed the wider community have, then we have to find other ways of funding it.
Well, talking about the Mersey tram, because we had those reports just a day or so ago that the cost had, well, rocketed to something like £430 million. And I'm thinking, well, the government wouldn't cough up last time when it was 100 and odd million that they were expected to pay. How are we going to persuade them to hand over, you know, upwards of half a billion? I just don't see it, Frank.
Well, I think that really that story was well timed, and I actually think that we are going to have people from the leadership of the Transport Authority telling us that the only way we can get a tram is through a congestion charge. But as I say, we're nowhere near the sort of problems that we see in Manchester on a daily basis, and I don't think businesses by and large support the introduction of a charge there. So in Liverpool, it certainly would be a disaster, would not be welcomed, certainly by downtown Liverpool and its members. And, you know, as you say, the government are not flushed with cash at this moment in time. Also concerned about the spiralling costs of the thing, and what the economic benefits long-term will be to Liverpool and the city region. So the whole thing, I think, needs to be reviewed. My understanding was we did actually buy the steel, so there shouldn't be any increased costs as far as that's concerned. But, you know, if the local authorities even agree the planned route, let alone anything else. So, you know, as I say, mismanagement of the process in the first phase has led to the problems that they're in now as far as the tram's concerned. They shouldn't be coming to look to the taxpayer and the business community to bail them out.
You know what amazed me, Frank, when we were in, remember the big dig?
And,
and when they were digging up the roads in the city centre, and beneath all that tarmac, there were the old good old tram lines that had served us for 100 years. I thought, why don't they just reuse them?
Why didn't we do that? I mean, I think, you know, anyone listening to this programme this afternoon, Larry, will be saying, you know, missed opportunity after missed opportunity. As I say, 14 years of Objective One funding. For me, there needed to be a route to the airport. That was the most obvious route if we were going to put Line 1 in. And then the Kirby route would have followed that. That just made sense to me, and I think to most people as well. But as I say, until we can get to the stage where local government in Liverpool are actually all singing off the same hymn sheet, I can't ever see those big strategic projects taking place. And, you know, only 6 months ago, all the council leaders signed a concordat saying they were going to cooperate in the future. What are they all doing over the last couple of months? They're all trying to do Kirby and over the Everton Stadium proposal.
Funny you should mention that. I was about to talk about that. Civil war. It's going to be civil war when the results announce.
It comes to something when, you know, they say to us, well, we should all be working for the good of the wider community and coughing up more cash. When, you know, the six local authorities, to me, don't seem to be able to agree what day it is at times. So, as I say, I would be far more interested in seeing what local government can do in terms of making themselves more lean and mean and efficient in times when the whole of the private sector are having to do that, and indeed, you know, local individuals and citizens are having to do that, rather than simply saying, well, we're going to have to think of new ways to tax you, because that is the route, in my opinion, to seeing businesses start to disappear. And, you know, you're right that lots of people, lots of local councils may well introduce the supplementary business rate, but some of them won't. And it's those local councils that have got that long-term view that will actually benefit, because businesses will start to relocate if it pays them to do so.
I'm sure you're right, Frank. And on the day that the Kirby results announced, I think we'll have to bring the UN peacekeeping force in here to keep order.
Well, you know, that's a whole, as I say, whole different debate.
That's a whole programme, that, Frank.
You know, as an Evertonian, I've very mixed feelings about the whole thing. But when it comes to cooperation across local authorities, we see once again that in Merseyside, it's a non-starter at this moment in time. And that's why the tramps failed the first time around, political infighting. And as I say, unless and until we sort ourselves out on that score, I think it's very unfair for people to start raising the prospect of congestion charging for a scheme and a project that, as I say, could have and should have been funded with the massive amount of European cash we have over a 14-year period.
Well, there's going to be lots to talk about in 2009, and thanks to Frank McKenna, Chairman of Downtown Liverpool in Business. Frank, a very good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Larry.
The Commons Touch on City Talk 105.9.